I'm just stubborn, man. I just never give up. There's no world where I ever would have quit. When I was 11, I just said, I'm going to be a YouTuber. I'm going to die trying. And I meant it. And so people hate it, but I'm just the most competitive, stubborn person you'll ever meet. And I just never give up. I just really love solving consistent, complex, hard problems. I think that's like what gets me out of bed. And like the harder the problems, the more exciting it is. I'm like really good at just obsessing over one thing more than anyone else on the planet. If I were to say what's my superpower, it's that. I can just obsess endlessly about something, and it's just like kind of who I am.
When you think back over the last 10 years of your life and the success you've had solving some of these hard problems, if you were to like break it down into some core components that you've learned, one of them is obsession that you've said.
Yeah.
What are the others?
Like, you are obviously who you surround yourself with, and luckily, I just got around the right people. I feed off the energy of the people around me. The core crux of it is like extreme ownership and don't make excuses and take extreme ownership, take accountability. Like, sure, I guess it was out of your control, but it could have been in your control if you just thought through it more, if you just really cared. And that's what I was just trying to convey in it.
And the other thing that comes through in this, but also all of your work, is just this idea that nothing is impossible.
I don't know why, but when people tell me I can't do something, I don't know where this came from. It makes me just want to do it more, to be honest. If you tell me I shouldn't do something, that's fine. But if you tell me I can't, then everything in my body just wants to go, you, I obviously can. I mean, does physics allow it? Then yes, it's possible. It's just, do we want to put the time in? I mean, I feel like people overcomplicate a lot of things. It's not that you can't do it. You just don't want to. You just got to really love what you do. I mean, and push through it. Something I always tell myself is, how you feel right now is why no one else does what you do. And if you push through this, that's just more of a reason why no one will ever be who you are. And so it's like, I think being able to push through unhappiness and do things you don't want to do consistently year after year over the course of a decade is like the ultimate advantage. Being consistently uncomfortable and like being able to consistently suffer over long periods is like arguably one of the deepest moats. Like, there's a reason no one makes videos like me, like not even close, because no one wants to live the life I live.
What five characteristics would I need to demonstrate to be successful?
You gotta be very coachable, because whatever I teach you today is gonna change, you know, a year or two from now. Always learning, always improving. A big thing for me is you gotta see the value in working here. This isn't like a job, this is a career. Like, if you don't realistically see a world where you're working for me in 10 years, then it's pretty hard for me to invest into you at the level I want. Like, I don't like training someone for 6 months. They work here for a year and then I lose them. What I like is I train someone for a year and then I get 9 years of dividends on the back end where they crush at their job and I'm constantly paying them more because they're becoming more valuable with time. Like, that is like the eighth wonder of the world, is investing heavily in an employee and then they stick around for a decade. So coachable, sees the value. Obviously obsessed. I just don't like working with mediocre people. I mean, I really just can't stand it. It's the fastest way to make me depressed, is if I have to work with someone who's just not all in and just loves what they do. Like I said, I think one of my greatest superpowers is my obsession. And I think some people would view that as a weakness, but I just like, if you just think about solving problems three times more than everyone else, like, you're bound to come up with different solutions. It's just a lot of, you know, stuff like that I'm sure if you listen to like a Steve Jobs interview or something that he talks about, it's just the typical traits: obsessed, coachable, all in, sees the value.
And what is the single worst trait?
Mediocrity. I mean, it's just like, because they're not bad enough where you fire them, but not good. The problem is, like, I mean, and you see it in full effect, great people just love working with great people. They do. And there's something about being around great people that pulls some kind of animal out of you that just makes you want to do more and push more and believe things aren't possible. And I don't know, when you put me around a bunch of other successful entrepreneurs, I just turn into a different human than if you put me around, I don't know, a bunch of people who are just running small businesses and don't really care and don't really have much ambition. I'm like two completely different humans. And you see that same thing in full effect. You put a bunch of A players around more A players, they just build off of each other. But you like put two or three C players amongst a bunch of great people and they'll start pulling them down. They'll start making them not want to work as much and make work not as fun. And so everyone knows, get rid of the C players, right? Obviously, get rid of people who aren't all in, blah, blah, blah. It's the ones that are like, they're not an A player, but they're not a C player. So it's kind of hard because you still feed off the energy. And if you get enough of them, it just drags the overall culture down. So those are like the worst. Mm. But, you know, when it comes to like the mission critical things like making videos and things like that, that's one of your number one jobs as leaders, just to make sure your great people are working with other great people. Because that's like the number one reason why people leave jobs isn't money. You know what I mean? It's that's like number four on the list. Don't ask me to list them all. I don't remember. I just know the number one thing is, do they enjoy who they're working with? And people will leave their job because they hate working with people way before they'll ever leave because of money.
What about your parents, mom and dad? You talk about your mother a lot. What influence did they both have on you?
Well, I don't really talk about my dad much. That's, you know, a long story. Don't need to get into it. But my mom, honestly, it's great now. Me and my mom have a phenomenal relationship, but on the come up, it was pretty rough because in 2008, they were over leveraged. So we literally went bankrupt. And so my mom was working two jobs and, you know, barely getting by. And so I didn't see her that much because when I was coming home from school, she was doing her second job. So it was a lot because she was a single mom raising us. She's working all the time, you know. I don't talk about a lot of this. You know, I have Crohn's disease, so I was very sick growing up. My brother also had issues as well. And so, you know, we're not the healthiest kids in our teenage year. She's just trying to get by and take care of us. And then, you know, she comes home and she just has this brat that's being annoying and like, I want to be a YouTuber. And she's just begging me. Sometimes she would literally cry and beg me to do homework. And I mean, I didn't mean it in a mean way, but I mean, even one time I literally told her, if you want my homework done so bad, why don't you just do it? You know, like that's what I told my mom. Like, what am I doing? I don't know. Like, I was just like, I don't care. Like, I just want to be successful. I want to build businesses, and bless her heart. Luckily it worked out. So now I spoiled her. She's great. She has her second home, anything she could ever want, she has. And so the first thing I did was start paying my mom, take care of her once I started making money, because she gave everything to like get me where I am. And I wouldn't be where I am now, but it was like me and her spoke different languages when I was younger. You know, she didn't want me to end up like them, you know, and, you know, get screwed and not have much money. And like, her brain couldn't compute the world I saw, and my brain couldn't compute the world she saw. And it was constant friction. I mean, the thing is, nothing she would say was unreasonable, right? Looking back at it, she was perfectly reasonable in what she was doing. I'm just a deranged lunatic and was way too obsessed with building the business and way too all in. But to me, I don't really feel risk. Like, if anything, it like risk excites me.
Why did you want to really be a YouTuber? Because kids say that, yeah. But the extent to which you said it and the focus that you had on that particular goal of being a YouTuber, because there's many things you could have focused on. You could have been a video game player, whatever, but YouTube is a particularly interesting thing because you're on camera, people are seeing it, there's a metric which decides how successful you are. Was there any element of the on-camera part that was helping to solve for like the feeling of isolation that you seem to have at that time?
Yeah, I think it's more to do with just, I found out that when I was at a young age, probably around 11, that there were YouTubers that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And I was just like, oh, that's it. Like,
so it's the money.
Yeah, of course. Because back then we didn't have money, and I really wanted to take care of my mom and just my family in general. So it was like everything. It was like, this is what I love doing. I've never had as much joy doing something as I do this. Plus, I could see a path where I could actually retire my mom, take care of her, pay her back for all the nights she worked so long so we could live comfortably and things like that. So one thing that irks me is when people try to like put someone's motivation into like one little bucket. Like, we're very complex creatures, and like, you know, you have a girlfriend. I would never say, oh, you just like her because she's pretty. But you like her because she's pretty, but you probably also like her because she's smart. You probably also like her because, you know, she's fun to be around. She likes similar shows, blah, blah. You could probably give me 1,000 reasons why you like your girlfriend. It's like, it's very annoying when people try to put why you like doing a certain job or building a certain business into one bucket. Oh, you just do it because of money. What if I do it because I like money and I enjoy it and it's a way to do this and it's a way to communicate with people and community and these other things, you know what I mean? And I think that's a common flaw we try to do. It's like, it's not that simple.
I think it's a lot of people can't understand someone being so relentlessly focused on something with the level of like commitment and sustained commitment that you've shown.
I agree, because it's very weird. I can just have the same thoughts over and over and over and over again. It wasn't like it was work for me grinding YouTube for those 10 years or whatever where no one was really watching it.
It would have had to have been a deep obsession because you were doing it when no one was really watching or paying attention, or really when the platform was...
There was literally a day when I was 19 or 20 where I woke up, joined a Skype call with my friends, and where we were reverse engineering, you know, why certain videos do well or whatever. And I remember that call being over 18 hours long. And then I hung up, went to bed, woke back up the next day, and instantly got back on the call and picked back. Like, that was the level of like hours we were putting in. I mean, I didn't know anything besides just trying to make it happen. Well, this is the life I chose. This is, you want success. You want to change the world. You want to do this and this. This is the price you have to pay.
Do you think the average person would like to be in your head? And secondly, are you happy?
No, the average person does not want to live the life I live or be in my head. They would be miserable because you're just working all the time. And they would probably just ask themselves, why am I working all the time? Why don't I do literally anything else? I mean, obviously, I'm not a robot. There are times where I'm like, I really want to play this strategy board game. Or I want to do this thing. And I look at the schedule and I'm like, oh, maybe I could do that in 4 days. The hard thing is, you really have to like be delicate with the framing of your mind, because it's very easy in moments like that to go, fuck, I'm like a zoo animal. Like I don't have free will. I'm like a little robot to my businesses. And so you have to like be very careful. And sometimes those emotions take over, and especially because I'm a very defiant kind of guy. And I'm like, but I really want to do this thing, but I can't because I got to go film this video and I got to do this and I got to speak at this conference and I got to do this networking thing and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I think most people, when that feeling comes up of like, am I just a f***ing animal? Like, do I have any free will? They would probably get very depressed. But I've been able to like work through those and I always try to, you know, your brain, you just got to control your thoughts. You should actually see this as a good thing, because this is why, which is why I'm very diligent about how I frame things in my mind. Like, this is why no one else will do what you will do. And this is a good thing. This is what you are feeling right now is your moat. You're lucky it's hard. Push through it and you'll be happy you did, you know? And so that's kind of how I try to view it. But no, I don't think most people would be happy living my life. They would be like, oh, let's just grab a couple $1 million and be happy.
Are you happy?
It depends what day you ask me. Right now I'm having a good time. When I had the flu in Africa sitting in a cage with lions, no. So,
what's your baseline? How would you describe your baseline?
Probably this year, probably so far, more unhappy than happy. And it's just, they're just things you got to do that just aren't fun.
With someone who is doing so well on a platform like YouTube, where the algorithm's always changing, mm-hmm. So many YouTubers I speak to say that they get burnout eventually. They get like creative burnout, and they just like delete their channel. You've seen a lot of it recently over the last couple of years, where YouTubers hit 10 million and they just stop.
Yep.
Has that ever crossed your mind to stop?
Oh, of course. Really? I mean, all the time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
When was the closest you came to quitting?
Oh, I mean, probably countless times. I mean, I guess I never truly would have quit. I mean, my biggest thing would be I just would have quit for like a week and been like, let me sleep 9 hours a night. And like,
I feel like YouTube is like throwing coal into a train, and you just have to keep throwing it in there once you've started. You just can never stop throwing it in.
No, you're running on a treadmill cranked up to the max, especially if you want to be a top tier creator like me. Yeah. And it's just like, who can stay on the treadmill the longest? Because it never slows down. If anything, you're making it faster. But no, I mean, I don't think there's ever unironically a time where I actually would have quit. It just breaks, probably would have been nice.
And when you think forward at that treadmill, can you see yourself doing it for the next 2, 3, 4 decades?
Or? Oh yeah, of course. I don't have any intention of ever stopping. To go viral, you have to do something that's never been done before. I've told this story before of like, you know, if you're driving down the road and you see a cow, who cares? It's a fucking cow. But if you're driving down the road and you see a purple cow, you're like, you've never seen that before. And it's something you weren't expecting. You're going to go, holy shit. And you're going to go tell your friends about it. You're going to remember that. You'll probably even think about it randomly once every couple of years. Why the fuck was there a purple cow? And it's like, it's the same thing. Just one was a little purple. And it, like, you can apply that same like analogy to ideas. Like when you're scrolling through social media to find a video to watch, there's things that, you know, have been done before, you've seen. It's, you know, roughly similar to stuff before. You're just going to scroll past it. You'll never think about it again. Just like you'll never think about a f***ing cow on the side of the road. And then there are ideas that are like the purple cow idea, which is what I try to do, which are things that make you go, what the f***? I've never seen that. Like, I have to click this, or I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight, because like, why is this video. No way they did this, right? But those typically are very hard. And usually, to get that purple cow effect, they've never been done before. And if something's never been done before, there's usually a reason, because it's very fucking hard. So you just kind of have to train yourself to, like, not resent very difficult, complex, hard, original problems and actually run towards them, because those are the ones that, you know, tend to have more of the purple cow effect where people have to watch it. It's way easier to get 50 million views on one video than it is to get a million views on 50 videos, right? And because it, like, kind of goes exponentially and it's pretty winner take all in the top videos, like, you just really have to lean into that purple cow effect, if that makes sense. I mean, I think we'll hit a billion subscribers, and I don't think anyone will be anywhere near close, because, like, once you make a couple million dollars, why would you live the life I live? Like, why? Why would you not take weekends off? Why would you not, you know, prioritize your sanity and that kind of stuff? It makes no sense, but that's why no one else does it.